fact, his name is John Jacobs, and he will definitely be here tonight. And you know what? I love his ministry for several different reasons. My son, who's working this morning, Seth, he'll be here tonight. John actually baptized my son 15 years ago. So, you know, Seth is like, dude, I'm ready for this. But I got a guy that came with him, and I don't know if you call him his sidekick because he's pretty big, right? This is Jerome. If you're a Chicago fan right over there, he's got a deal on for you, you know. And he played for the NFL. I'm going to introduce him. Now, John's ministry, you know, is one of those that as there are ministries that come and go, and there's those that have staying power. His is one of those that has staying power, even though there's been adversity and stuff like that. God has been with this guy and seen him through many, many things. And one of the things that gets me more than anything, I you know, big name ministries are great, but the bottom line is, how many people are they coming into the kingdom of God? You know, I don't know. You have these things that, you know, where people die and they go to heaven and they come back and they talk about those things. And I struggle with those. We talked about that 2 weeks ago when we were going through one of the things. But, you know, it's said that Smith Wigglesworth, I think, was one of those that had a life after experience. And, you know, one of the things they asked him, you know, in heaven, like, how many people did you raise from the dead? And he said it really wasn't important. What was important is how many souls we won into the kingdom. Because that's the bottom line. Jesus goes and he does miracles to affirm who he is. That's what he does. He doesn't go to do miracles to win people to Christ. He does miracles to affirm who he is, that he is the Savior coming with healing power and breaking the bonds and the chains of those in the past world. One of the songs we sing is like, I never want to go back to my old life again. I can promise you, if you go back, there ain't nothing there. Okay? And it ain't getting any better out there. And Jerome's coming today. He's going to come, Jerome King. He's going to come. He's going to preach at us for a little bit. And he's going to get us all excited. You need a pulpit kind of thing to
sit? I'll give you that right there.
Okay, all right. Yeah, we're not real fancy around here, so we don't have all that stuff. So I want you to welcome him as he comes and he shares the gospel with us today. And I'm excited, dude. Go for it.
Rob, two banks, and John told a guy, I'll break handcuffs just for you tonight in your honor if you'll invite every criminal that you know. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll never guess who walked through those church doors the next night. Over 19 men, you know who they were? They were the leading crystal meth dealers and the leading crime figures in that county. And all 19 of them came forward and got born again, saved, and set free. And you know what? The sheriff called us 2 weeks later, and you know what the sheriff said? Your meeting changed the atmosphere of the county. Now, how many of you understand tonight we don't need just another church meeting? Come on, how many of you believe that? How many of you know we don't need just another get-together? How many of you think we need something that changes the atmosphere in this county? How many of you believe that tonight? And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? We've had two guys come forward. We went to a church not too long ago, and these two little 10-year-old boys that were in handcuffs. And every night, the sheriff brought them down in handcuffs, and we wondered, what could two little 10-year-old boys do that was so bad that they would be in handcuffs every night? And you know what the police officer said? They made a bomb to blow up their school. And you know what he said? That their dad is the meanest man in the county, and he beats them, and he tortures them, and they're full of rage and anger. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? That night stood the two little 10-year-old boys standing there, and guess who walked through that church door? The meanest man in the county. Ladies and gentlemen, there stood the two 10-year-old boys getting saved, crying. The policeman, he was standing there getting crying. And the meanest man in the county, he was standing there, and he was crying. And you know what we said? Only Jesus can do that. Now, how many of you believe tonight we'll see something that only Jesus could do? Amen? And you know what? We told that same story in Atlanta, Georgia. And you know what? Guess who was sitting in the crowd? A sheriff. And you know what? He got so motivated. Guess what he did? He brought the whole jail the next night with him. Over 37 prisoners and over 19 deputies. And over 30 prisoners and 11 deputies gave their hearts to the Lord that night. Now, how many of you think we need a good shaking up for God? I say, how many of you think we need a good shaking up for God tonight? And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know tonight we're going to be here at 6:30. And you know what? I did not come alone, ladies and gentlemen. We have some very big guys on our team. And you know what? One of the guys that are coming tonight, he's one of the world's strongest men, ladies and gentlemen. He's 6'6" and a half. He weighs 445 pounds, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, he's able to bench press over 1,000 pounds. Ladies and gentlemen, he squats over 1,200 pounds. He has pictures on the internet where he's pulling fire trucks, and he's in World Strongman competition where he pulled a jet. Ladies and gentlemen, he's one of the world's strongest men. He will be here tonight. We also have a guy who's actually from your part of town. He's from Owosso, and you know what? He's a 23-year police veteran for the Tulsa Police Department. And ladies and gentlemen, he played Major League Baseball for the Texas Rangers. He has 6% body fat. If he lost one more percent, ladies and gentlemen, he'd probably drop dead. That's how ripped up this guy is. He will be here tonight. And we have another guy, Sean King. He played 7 years in the NFL. He was the first defensive lineman ever drafted by the Carolina Panthers. In one football game, he picked up a fumble, intercepted a pass, sacked the quarterback, and he scored a touchdown. And they still show his highlights at Carolina Panther Stadium. Ladies and gentlemen, he's going to be here tonight, and we're going to be doing all kind of feats of strength. We're going to be blowing up hot water bottles, snapping 2 and 3 baseball bats at the same time. The world's strong man is going to be lifting 315 pounds above his head for reps tonight, ladies and gentlemen. But you know what? I got to tell this story, Pastor. Not too long ago, we were at this church, and you know what? How many of you think your pastor, he's a tough guy? How many of you know your pastor ain't no sissy? Amen? How many of you believe that? And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, we were at this church, and this pastor, he was big, and he played pro football for the Green Bay Packers, and we announced that if ever, you see, I have some really big hands, and you know what, ladies and gentlemen, I go to a soda can machine, and I'll take a soda out, and I'll explode them, push, with my hands unopened, and you know what, I even start getting a little crazy on stage. I started smashing them over my head. You know what, I've almost knocked myself out. I've had little paper cuts. Seriously. But you know what? We announced one night this big pastor. We were in a church of 500 members, and this pastor played pro football. And we announced that if everybody would invite their friends and call their neighbors and let's pack this place out, that I was going to run through the air and explode a soda can over the pastor's head. Now, it was scary. I'm not going to kid you. But do you know that church of 500 brought out 1,200 people that night? We saw over 503 people give their life to the Lord. Now, Pastor, I was going to ask you, not for me, not for the church, but for souls, if everybody in here would invite somebody, invite their neighbor, and pack this place out, would you let me run across this stage and explode an unopened soda can over your head tonight? Would you be willing to do that, Pastor? If they'll invite everybody out.
He already set me up earlier today. Can I use you? And I went, oh, yeah. So, hey, yeah. I gave my word.
You don't have to use your hands. Guess what? Hey, praise the Lord. Let's give him a hand for a pastor. Pastor, you know what, Pastor? To be honest, if you came into my church, I don't know if I'd do it, Pastor. But, hey, praise the Lord. You know what? I'm not going to speak long. Pastor told me I had to let y'all out by 3 o'clock, and I respect that today. So, nah. But every Sunday, I get an opportunity to come to church with my Bible and a telephone book. And ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're going to be blowing up hot water bottles. We're going to be breaking stuff. We're going to be smashing things. But how many of you understand this is just a bait? Half the world, you know, 67% of the world watches wrestling nowadays. And how many of you think we're just cashing in on something that the world thinks is cool? Amen? And today I'm going to give you a demonstration, and I'm going to attempt to rip this phone book. And you notice the key word is attempt, because you know what? We were on television for 15 years, and we have this thing called the edit button, and we never miss a feat of strength. But in a live performance, it's either going to be the greatest thing you've ever seen or the funniest thing you've ever seen. And today, I'm going to attempt to rip this telephone book, and this is what we're known for. But tonight, I'm going to attempt to bite and chew through a phone book with just using my teeth, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, Sean King, NFL defensive lineman, is going to lure 8 to 10 pound fire axes down into his eyes. Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be a wild and crazy night. Everybody say something crazy. So, you know what? Change your mind. Change your plans. Invite somebody out that you don't know. How many of you know 5 people that aren't saved? Amen? Come on. All you got to do is go out to Walmart, go out your front door. You'll see somebody that's not saved that needs Jesus. Amen? You know what? Invite them out. You don't even have to tell them anything about Jesus. Just tell them there's going to be some big, strong guys doing a bunch of crazy stuff. And you know what? That'll get them out here. And you know what? Hey, God will still bless you for making the effort. Amen? How many of you know it's not up to us to get them in here? How many of you know it's up to the Holy Spirit? But God is going to still bless you for making the effort. So invite somebody out. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? Last year, we were in over 500 schools in over 50 cities speaking a message of hope to the young people of the world. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? When we go into the school, it's not because we're great speakers. But how many of you understand we pray over it? We ask for God to fill his building with angels, and we believe God's going to speak to every young person in that building. And you know what? Everywhere we go, we average 1 to 5 students that say, hey, thanks for what you said. I'm not going to cut myself. Everywhere we go, we average at least one out of three students that say, hey, thanks for what you said. I'm not going to kill myself anymore. Now, how many of you understand kids are hurting today? How many of you believe that? And how many of you understand if we have a chance to go to where they are, how many of you know we can't just sit on our hands in church and believe God for a next miracle, the next politician to make it? How many of you know it's always been God's people to change something? And how many of you know it always will be? Amen? And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? Last year, we were in the biggest high school in Alabama, over almost 4,000 students. And you know what? We were in the high school, and we went in the building, and we prayed over it. We asked God to fill that building with angels. And you know what? As we were speaking under the anointing of God, as we were speaking, one of the class members stood up and said, I'm not going to use drugs anymore. And I don't know what happened, Pastor, but it sent a molecular reaction through the crowd, and kids started standing up. I'm not going to use people. I'm not going to get drunk anymore. And you know what? The principal, he was a Jehovah's Witness. And he was flipping out. He didn't know what was going on. And he said, I'm going to cancel classes for the rest of the afternoon. And whoever wants to talk with the power team, you can go down and talk with them in the auditorium. Ladies and gentlemen, we prayed with and talked to over 300 students in that school. And half the school came back to the nighttime program. And half the school got saved that night, including the Jehovah's Witness principal. And you know what? He still attends that church today. Last year, we saw over 17 principals give their life to the Lord. Now, how many of you understand God has given us a tool to be able to reach people who wouldn't normally come to church? And ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to invite your neighbors, change your mind, change your plans, and let's watch God do something miraculous in somebody's life tonight. Amen? And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? We're here to partner with you as a team. Everybody say a team. You know what? We're here to partner with you as a team to reach out and let's change this community and make it a better place. Amen? Now, I'm going to attempt to rip this phone book, and then I'm going to probably be out of breath for a little while, Pastor, because you know what? I wasn't planning on standing up here today. That's probably why I'm dressed the way that I am. I thought I'd be sitting in the congregation, but John Jacobs, he had a blowout. Actually, I was on the phone with him, and he had a blowout on the way over here, and he has these really, really big tires that you can hear for miles before he gets to you. And, you know, there's no way he's going to find a tire today for that truck, so he want to apologize. He'll be here tonight, though. He'll be in Tulsa a little bit later this afternoon, and he wanted me to tell you that he apologizes, and God bless you guys. But I'm going to attempt to rip this phone book today, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, no. Yeah, there you go. I'm going to attempt to rip this phone book today, and then we're going to get right into the Word of God. Come on, how many of you are excited about the Word of God this morning? Amen? All right. Now, get behind me as I attempt to rip this telephone book. Let's get behind me. Come on, I need somebody to cheer me on. Now, that took a little bit longer than I expected, amen? All right. Now, you know what, ladies and gentlemen? We sing about heaven. We talk about heaven. How many of you understand we can't wait to get to heaven? But how many of you know when we get to heaven, how many of you know there's not going to be one more person to win for Jesus? How many of you know there's not going to be one more person to pull out of the ditch? How many of you understand this is our moment? This is our moment to make a difference for God. How many of you know you've been put here, born, for such a time as this, and that's to make a difference for God. Amen? So I encourage you to invite your friends, call somebody up, invite them out tonight, and let's watch some people get saved. I'm believing God for 40 souls. Everybody say 40 souls. Amen. Well, if you have your Bible, open it up to Mark chapter 14, verse 3. Mark chapter 14, verse 3. Verse 3 through 9. Ladies and gentlemen, God loves us all the same. But one act of faith can so motivate God to put his favor and his promotion on your life that everything changes forever in a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what? I was looking at the news the other day and I was getting so depressed. They were talking about how bad things are, the depression's not over, how bad some places are over here. And I was looking around, and I was like, Lord, what is this? And you know what the Lord spoke to me? He said, go look in the Bible. And I looked through the Bible, look at every depression, every famine. And I looked through the whole Bible, and you know what I found? It was the greatest moment for God to promote people. God was looking for people to show off what he can do. And you know what? I was praying this morning, God, give me the right word for this church this morning. And you know what I believe? God wants to open a new season today over your family, your future, and your finances. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? A lot of people think it's not spiritual. Lord, bless me. Lord, lift me up. Lord, use me to do great things. But did you know that's just the opposite? God finds pleasure in promoting people. You know what? I'm going to raise my right hand this morning and promise you, God promotes people. You know what the Bible declares? God raises one up, God brings another down. Promotion is from the Lord. You know what the Bible declares? Men make their plans, but God determines the outcome. The doors God opens, no man can shut. Ladies and gentlemen, if God wants to zap you, how many of you know it doesn't matter how many mistakes you made in the past? Come on, how many of you know it doesn't matter what people say or think? If God wants to promote you, ladies and gentlemen, nothing can stop it. And this morning, I'm going to speak on how to live a life God can't resist promoting. How to get God's favor upon your life, ladies and gentlemen. Mark chapter 14. If you're ever reading 1 Chronicles chapter 4, if you remember reading 1 Chronicles, well, it's about the sons of Judah. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? Sometimes it even gets a little slow. So-and-so begat so-and-so. So-and-so is the son of so-and-so. There's a big, long line of people. And then all of a sudden, God says, one man got my attention. His name is Jabez. And Jabez prayed a prayer. And he said, Lord, that you would bless me. Keep your hand on me. Keep me from evil so that I wouldn't live a life of pain. And you know what it said? That he got God's attention. And God answered his prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, how many of you want to get God's attention? How many of you want God to put his favor of promotion and favor on your life? How many of you don't want to stay the same this morning? You know what I read? I read 85% of Christians remain the same unless something drastic happens in their life. You know what? I don't want to remain the same. How many of you want to see what you want to never seen, be what you've never been, and do what you've never done? Come on, how many of you want to do that this morning? You know what? Ladies and gentlemen, we have a guy on the team. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? This guy, he's a little bit scary looking. You know why he's scary looking? Because he was serving life in San Quentin prison. How many of you know San Quentin prison is one of the roughest prisons? And ladies and gentlemen, his father, was the president of Hell's Angels. His mother was one of the only women to ever carry colors. Ladies and gentlemen, he had been shot 3 times in the head. He had been stabbed 8. Ladies and gentlemen, he lived a life in prison. When they moved him, they had to put a metal mask over his face so he wouldn't bite or maim the guards. That's how violent he was. But ladies and gentlemen, he only had one visitor. You know who it was? It was his 88-year-old grandmother, and she weighed 100 pounds. And she rode a bus from Washington, D.C. to San Quentin prison for 5 days. But you know what she had? She had the gift of faith. How many of you understand one of the gifts of the Spirit? How many of you know it's good to have, we should all receive the gift of the Spirit, the gift of healing, the gift of prophecy. But how many of you understand one of the gifts of the Spirit is the gift of faith? And how many of you know the gift of faith is the only gift of the Spirit that the devil has no weapon against? How many of you understand when you receive the gift of faith, how many of you know you speak the things that aren't as though they are? How many of you know you dig your heels in and you announce, I'm not going under, I'm going over, my God is able? How many of you know when you receive the gift of faith, you're not moved by the numbers against you? How many of you know you believe in the power of God? And how many of you know God will do all you believe he can? How many of you believe that this morning? And ladies and gentlemen, she had the gift of faith. And you know what? She walked into the cell of America's meanest prisoner. And you know what she said? She said, you will be saved, you will be free, and you will be a preacher. Now, how many of you understand the church group couldn't even get to her? But how many of you understand somebody slid a Bible up under his door, And Jesus manifested in his cell. How many of you understand his grain healed? And he got out on a technicality, and you know what? Now he's one of the greatest soul winners that I've ever seen. How many of you know he doesn't? I'm not just talking about for the team. He leads at least five people to Jesus each and every day. I'm talking about the waiter, the airplane attendant. He leads at least five people. You know, we picked him up the other day, Pastor. He was sitting there praying with two soldiers to accept the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? We got lost the other day in Chicago. And when we get lost, you know what we like to do? We like to stop and eat because we panic. And we stopped at a Subway at midnight, and as we stopped at a Subway, and all of a sudden it comes in this gang, like seven gang members, and you know what they had on their colors? And I wouldn't even look up because I know eye contact can be confrontational, so I kept my head down. And you know what? As we looked up, the world's strongest man's over there. He's joined hands with all seven of them, saying the sinner's prayer in Subway. Now, let me ask you, what could turn America's meanest prisoner into America's greatest soul winner? One woman with the gift of faith who spoke the things and weren't as though they are. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, how many of you want to receive the gift of faith this morning? Come on, how many of you want to receive it this morning? And ladies and gentlemen, I believe this story, Mark chapter 14, I believe this story contains the key on how to get God to promote you. Believe me, if God wants to promote you, the Bible declares that he'll even use the words of slander to promote you. Mark chapter 14. Now, this is a story about a lady who poured a bottle of perfume on the head of Jesus. But while reading this, I want you to remember something. It's not because she wants his head to smell pretty, but she's demonstrating a message from her heart to his heart. And whoo! Watch what happens when God in the flesh gets motivated. Mark chapter 14, verse 3. And in Mark chapter 14, it says, while he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, while he was sitting at meat. Actually, they were sitting at lunch. There was a couple of them there. And a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. And she broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Now, some of those were sitting there who had indignation within themselves said, why does she waste this perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages, and the money could have been given to the poor. And they rebuked her and criticized her harshly. Look at verse 6. Jesus stood up and said, let her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will have with you always, and you can help them anytime you want, but me you will not always have. He's saying that she sees this moment. This was her moment, and she sees this moment. Look at verse 8. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. And look at verse 9, ladies and gentlemen, one of the most amazing scriptures in the Bible. Jesus said in verse 9, verily I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the whole world, what she has done will be spoken in memory and as a memorial to her. Whew. Somebody say big stuff. How many of you think it's big stuff when God in the flesh stands up and he shuts the mouths of your criticizers on the spot? God in the flesh said, it's not what you say, it's what I say. I call her great. And then Jesus, motivated, says, wherever they tell my story, I'm going to tell her story. I'm going to brag on her forever. Ladies and gentlemen, how many of you think that's greater than becoming the president of the United States of America? If somebody somewhere will be bragged about for all of eternity. Come on, how many of you believe that this morning? How many of you believe she moved him? Come on, how many of you believe she moved God this morning? Now, what's the key verse? What's the key verse to moving God? Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to never forget this for as long as you live. Everybody put your finger on verse 8. Verse 8, it's what's in the bottle. Verse 8 is like plugging into a light sign. Verse 8, everybody put your finger on verse 8. What does verse 8 say? She built millions of churches all across the world? No. Does it say she fed millions and millions of hungry children all across the world? No. Look at verse 8. What does it say? She did what she could, period. Ladies and gentlemen, I found out something. If you do what you can with what you have where you are, God will increase what you have and he won't leave you where you are. Come on, how many of you think each and every one of us have a bottle of perfume? How many of you know your bottle of perfume is what you can do for God? I said it's what you can do for God. You know what, ladies and gentlemen, nobody on this earth has your fingerprint, your toe print, your retina print, your tongue print. Nobody can impact this world the way that you can. Nobody can make the same difference, reach the same people. You are born for such a time as this, and that's to make a difference for God. You know what? Everybody in here has a bottle of perfume, and that's what you can do for God, your gifts, your talents. You know what, Pastor? If everybody, can you imagine if that person back there, this person, start doing what you can, pouring your bottle of perfume, not only with this church, change Owasso, this church might just change the whole state of Oklahoma. Amen. Now, she poured the bottle of perfume on his head, demonstrating a message from her heart to his heart. You know what? I'll give you an example. You know what? We went to a church not too long ago, and John walked in, and these two little grandmothers met him at the door, and they were so excited, and they were, "Oh, John Jacobs, how, it's so nice to meet you. How are you doing?" And one of them had church greeter servanthood on her tag, and she was so nice, and she was like, "Oh, John Jacobs, can I get you some coffee?" And she asked John, did he want some coffee, and she asked me, and I don't even drink coffee, but she was so nice, I said sure. And you know what, she wouldn't even let us put the cream and sugar in it. She wanted to do it and just take care of us. And you know what, John spoke to the lady. John said, "Ma'am, this is a ministry you have, greeting people for the church." And you know what, she got embarrassed and shy. And you know what she said? "Oh, John Jacobs, it's nothing like your ministry. Your ministry reaches millions of people for Jesus." And you know what God spoke to John to tell that lady right there on the spot? He said, "Ma'am, it's the same, the guy." How many of you understand God? How many of you understand God doesn't compare us? How many of you know God doesn't compete us? You want to hear something? Listen to this. God is not moved by the size of what you do compared to somebody else. How many of you know God doesn't compare us? God doesn't compete us. You know what moves God? Is you do what you can with what you have where you are. That what moves God. And if you do what you can with what you have where you are, God will increase what you have, and he won't leave you where you are. Ladies and gentlemen, each and every one of us have a bottle of perfume, and it's what we can do for God. And I encourage you to pour your bottle of perfume. Use your gifts and talents for God. How many of you know one of the proofs that you're saved is you want to be used for God? Come on, how many of you know that's one of the proofs that you're saved this morning? She poured a bottle of perfume on his head, and they criticized her. And Jesus stood up and said, "It's not what you say, it's what I say. I call her great." How many of you know God holds the first word, and he will hold the last? How many of you understand that this morning? Now, ladies and gentlemen, before I close, I'm going to share one story with you. You know, we have a friend who's a Christian businessman. And you know what, Pastor? He goes like you're going to Haiti tomorrow. He builds churches. And you know what? He went to South Africa. He went to Kenya. And you know what? When this our friend 20 years ago, Christian businessman, he went to Kenya. And you know what? When he went over there, he went to this little metal building of 45 kids, of orphans. And you know what? This little metal building, they had picked up kids off the street that had been eaten on by animals. And you know what? He went to visit this little orphanage of 45 kids. And you know what? While he was there visiting, you know what they said? They said, "Well, we're going to have to close down the building because we don't have any money to pay the mortgage anymore." And you know what our friend, the Christian businessman, did? He pulls out his checkbook and he writes a check. And he pays off the mortgage to that little metal building, 45 kids. Now, how many of you understand that's a big thing? Everybody say a big thing. How many of you know we can't all do the big things? How many of you know? But it's not the big things that change the world. How many of you know it's the little thing? Because you know what? As our friend was getting ready to leave, he noticed in the corner a little metal basket, a little basket. And he said, "What's in that basket over there?" And you know what the interpreter said? "That's a 9-year-old boy, and he doesn't have any arms or any legs." And you know what our friend, the Christian businessman, said? He said, "Can I meet him?" And you know what? They went over there and he met the little boy, 9-year-old boy with no arms and no legs. And you know what our friend said? He said that he didn't want to say anything to the little boy that wasn't normal. So you know what he asked the little 9-year-old boy through the interpreter? "What do you want to be for God when you grow up?" And you know what the little boy said with his head propped up on a towel? He said, I want to be an artist for Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, that so moved our friend. It didn't cost much money. He hired an art teacher to come 3 times a week for 1 year and put a paintbrush in the little boy's mouth and teach him how to paint. Now, how many of you know, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that was 20 years ago. But I want to show you how good God is. Our friend, the Christian businessman, well, he went back a few years ago, Pastor. And when he went back, he couldn't believe what he was seeing. That little 45-member metal building wasn't there anymore. And there was this big, huge, gigantic building. There was 2 big, gigantic buildings sitting there in that place. And he was like, what is this building over here? He said, well, that's the arts and craft building. The kids, they sell paintings, and they sell them for all over the world. And that's how we fund things. And he said, well, what's this building over here? He said, well, that's the mechanical building. The kids, they work together and they build things like wheelchairs and they sell them all across the world. And he said, all of this was inspired by our one art teacher. His paintings of wildlife sell for millions of dollars, and that's the reason we're able to do this. And you know what our friend, the Christian businessman, said? Well, can I meet him? And he said, yeah. And he waited in the back for 3 hours waiting on this young gentleman. And 3 hours later, they pushed in a man in a wheelchair. And he didn't have any arms or any legs. And you know what he said to my friend, the Christian businessman? He said, remember me? I'm the 9-year-old boy you put a paintbrush in my mouth and taught me how to paint. Now, ladies and gentlemen, how many of you understand the Christian businessman couldn't stay behind and dream a dream for God, but how many of you know the little boy could? And how many of you know the little boy couldn't put a paintbrush in his mouth, but how many of you know the Christian businessman could? When 2 people at the same place at the same time poured their bottle of perfume, how many of you know God no longer raised up something that will change Kenya? How many of you know God raised up something that will help change the world? How many of you know 1 can put 1,000 to flight, 2 can put 10,000? How many of you know when people pull together, they can pull back a generation? Amen? And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? I encourage you today to pour your bottle of perfume. Use your gifts and talents for God and watch God do something miraculous in your life. Amen? Would you give the Lord a praise this morning? Let's give the Lord a big hand clap. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? You know what, ladies and gentlemen? Somebody asked me the other day, how do I live a life for God each and every day? And I want you to understand something. When you get saved, it's your spirit that gets saved. But how many of you understand this morning, God wants to own your life, your will, mind, and emotions? Because when God owns you, God can fix you. Can I just be honest this morning? How many of you know we can't fix ourselves? The Bible declares that we're all filthy as rags. But when you give God ownership, God can fix you. When God owns you, God can clean you up. When God owns you, God can redeem you. Because what God owns, God promotes. What God owns, he shows off. And this morning, would you give God ownership of every area of your life? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to just cup your hands as a symbol to the Holy Spirit. I just want everybody to cup your hands and repeat this prayer after me. I want everybody in this building to repeat this prayer. Everybody say, oh, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you own me. You own my thoughts, the workings of my hand, the intents of my heart, the steps of my feet. You own my past, you own my present, and you own my future. Here I am, Lord, not part of me, but all of me. Here I am, Lord, my mess ups as well as my strengths. I receive salvation. I receive eternal life. I believe you're the Son of God. And I believe you died on the cross for me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. And from this day forward, I'm going to step up. I'm going to speak up, and I'm going to announce, my God is able. Here I am, Lord, ready to serve you. and I'll see you in heaven. And everybody who loves him says, amen. Church, let's give Jesus one big hand of this morning. Praise the God. Praise the Lord. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, right now, one more thing before I turn it back over to Pastor. One more thing, ladies and gentlemen. Right now, I'd just like to switch gears with you guys for a moment and share it heart to heart. You know, everywhere we go, somebody asks us, what are you guys? A world strong man, bodybuilders, professional wrestlers, football players, what are you guys? And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand something. We are missionaries. We're missionaries to today's public schools where we believe God is most void. And you know what? Everywhere we go, one of our main goals is to go into the schools and speak a message of hope to the young people of the world. But you know something, ladies and gentlemen? Everywhere we go, it's getting harder and harder. And you know why it's getting harder? Because they've taken God out of everything. They've taken God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. Ten Commandments are down. Crime is up. School shootings are up. You know what? In one high school, 17 teenage girls got pregnant on purpose. I say 17 teenage girls got pregnant on purpose. Now, how many of you understand those girls hadn't been hearing the truth? And you know what? When we go into the schools, we speak the truth to the young people. You know what? We tell them to be a dream maker, not a dream breaker. We tell them you can overcome your scars, that this world needs you. And you know what? The little kids, they cheer, and the adults, they cry, the young adults. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? Everywhere we go, we see God do a miracle. And you know why I believe God does a miracle? Because everywhere we go, I have some young person come up to me and say, hey, thanks for what you said. I'm not going to cut myself anymore. Thanks for what you said. I'm not going to give up on hope. I'm not going to kill myself. You know what? We were mailed a 380 bullet in the mail by a little girl that said I was going to kill myself in class, but this is the day you came to my school. You know what? A football player pulled a gun out of his pocket and handed it to one of the guys on the team, and he said I was going to kill myself in class. And you know what? We got a chance to pray with that kid. The coach got the gun. And the kid got Jesus, and how many of you know God got all the glory that day? How many of you believe that? And ladies and gentlemen, you know what? Every week we go into the schools, we have to believe God for five schools. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? We don't charge the church. We pay our own airfare to every city and every school. You know what? Last year, in 1 month, our airfare was over $13,000 to go to every school in every city. But how many of you understand God has made a way for us to be able to go where preachers can't go? And how many of you understand if we have a chance to go to where they are, how many of you understand we have to go? I say, how many of you understand we have to go? And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand something. I work for the founder of this evangelism team, John Jacobs. And for 25 years, we had to charge the schools $1,000. That's the only way we can make it, $1,000 per school to fly the whole team in. But you know what? God spoke to John Jacobs over 8 years ago. Stop charging the schools. Because the schools that need it the most can't afford it. And you know what? Every Sunday now, we take up a love offering on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And we ask God's people to send us. And how many of you think the reward should go back to God's people all the time? How many of you believe that? And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? In a moment, the ushers are going to come forward and pass out an envelope. Not yet ushers, but in a moment, they're going to come forward and pass out an envelope to every person here. You know what? We're going to go and pray over this envelope. And before they pass them out, I'm going to share one story with you. We have a grandmother who's a friend of the team, true story. And you know what? This grandmother, she's really nice and sweet. And she has two grandsons who grew up, and you know what? They grew up going down the wrong track. You know how many of us been there before. And you know what? She prayed every day to see her two grandsons come to know the Lord. But you know what? When they got in high school, they got involved in drugs and alcohol. And she never stopped praying for her two grandsons. And you know what? The missionary came to her church one night. And you know what? The missionary told her to take her envelope and write the name of the people who she believed in to come to know Jesus. And she was so moved that day, so motivated, that after she gave an offering, she pledged every month to send her money to that missionary in Korea. And you know what? Her grandsons, they went on to live their life. Every month she pledged her money. And then after her grandsons got out of high school, they got them joined in the Navy. How many of you know the Navy has set you straight? Amen. And you know what? Her two grandsons, they got stationed off the coast of Korea. And you know what? When they got stationed off the coast of Korea, they decided, hey, they're going to get off the boat and go get drunk and meet some girls. That was their plan that night. I don't know. And as they got off the boat and they walked into town, And they heard music playing at this one building, and they walked over. They said, hey, man, I bet we can meet some girls over there. And they walked over to the building. And when they walked inside the building, to their amazement, it was a Christian contemporary concert. And you know what? They went in, and they had a great time. They danced. They sang. They worshiped the Lord. And you know what? At the very end, they came forward at the altar call, and they gave their hearts to Jesus. And they were so pumped up and so motivated, the two grandsons, they ran home and they emailed their grandmother and told her about what happened. And they told her about the event and where they got saved at. And when the grandmother read the email, she burst into tears, because it had been the same place she had been sending her pledge for 2 years, ladies and gentlemen. How many of you understand when you send a ship out, how many of you know God will bring your ship in? How many of you know the greatest way to get a miracle for your family is to send one out for another family? How many of you believe that this morning? Let's watch God put his arms around us tonight. Let's watch God change families, put new Christian families back together, new Christian fathers, new Christian daddies. I'm believing God's going to work a miracle. I'm calling in runaway dads. I'm calling in kids that are lost on drugs. How many of you believe God's given us a tool to be able to reach them? Amen? So call somebody, invite them out tonight. And I want to thank you for giving today. Thank you for caring. And thank you for making a difference. Let's give Jesus one more big hand clap. Pastor, I'm going to turn it over to you.
You know, the thing that he said, I really love those kind of colloquial statements. If you'll do what you can with what you've got, where you're at, it's amazing what God can do. He started and said something very important this morning that I know everybody kind of got, but when we get to heaven, I mean, what is heaven all like? This is what we know about it. There's going to be a throne, and there's a rainbow over it. There's a river that runs out of it, and there's a tree that produces 12 different fruit, one for each month. There's gold streets, a gate, and a lion and a lamb. And that's it. But what you will never see when you're there is one lost soul. You'll never see another one. This is our only opportunity. If we were to throw a line as far as that way and as far as that way, and we say that's the timeline of the earth, and just put one little scratch on it, that's you and me where we live. And we love the scratch. We try to stretch it out. We try to make it as much as we can. We live in scratch houses, drive scratch cars. Yet God took us off of that scratch, and he put his life inside of us and laid it there. This is the only moment we live. This is our only chance to reach the lost. Because when we're in heaven, and praise be it that we're there with our Lord forever and ever, we never see another one. This is our only opportunity. So if you'll do what you can with what you've got where you are, what I would love to say is the day that I go and I lay my treasure before the Lord, and I hope I do have some rubies and diamonds, let alone gold. But I want to be able to say, not only well done, but there's a memory of what you did and a memorial of what you did, just like this lady in the text that we read. Amen? So have a great day. Have a wonderful day. May God open the door to you today, and he will, to speak life to somebody. To step out and do what you can with what you've got and where you're at, and God will get the increase. Amen? Let us stand and let us worship him one more time before we go. Mickey, take us away.